At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A divided Supreme Court today is keeping voting maps in Texas largely intact. The 5-4 decision deals an election year blow to Democrats by reversing earlier findings that intentional racial discrimination continues to stain several state House and congressional districts. The High Court did strike down one district, State House District 90 in Fort Worth. It's held by Ramon Romero, a Democrat. Justices say the state relied too heavily on race when it increased the district's Latino population. Theodore Rave of the University of Houston School of Law talked with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
How would you characterize today's decision?
I think I would say Texas legislature dodges a bullet.
Dodges a bullet. What could have happened here? What was at stake?
The stakes here were very high. I mean, anytime you have districting legislation, the stakes are high because we're talking about the way that we elect our representatives in both the state legislature and Congress. But here for Texas, the stakes were even higher than that, because had the finding of discriminatory intent stuck, that could have potentially put Texas back under the preclearance regime of the Voting Rights Act, which essentially means that any decisions Texas makes about elections have to be pre-cleared by the Department of Justice or a court in Washington.
This was a 5-4 decision by the High Court. Are we looking at the usual ideological split there?
Yes. In a sense, you know, it was the five more conservative, for lack of a better word, justices in the majority and the four more liberal justices in dissent. So that's your typical 5-4 split when you see them.
Let's get to some of the practical implications here, because we haven't talked about that one district, which was considered by the High Court to be impermissible. And what I understand this to mean is that Texas won't have to redraw most of its political districts. There's that one voided district, House District 90 in Fort Worth, which is held by Democrat Ramon Romero, that'll have to be redrawn. But of course, since districts are contiguous, right? I mean, if one is invalidated, doesn't that require at least one other and maybe more to be reapportioned to?
Certainly. I mean, it's sort of like a jigsaw puzzle. You can't change the shape of one piece without changing the shape of the pieces that surround it. So yes, more than one district will be affected, certainly. The difference is that the lower court had wanted the legislature to go back to the drawing board and start over and redo the whole plan statewide. And now the remedy will be much narrower. It'll be District 90 and whatever districts need to be adjusted to redraw District 90 to cure the violation. Now, that could have ripple effects out throughout the entire state. If you change one of the surrounding districts, that may mean that you'll have to change a district further out. But that'll be for the court and the legislature to figure out.
That was Theodore Rave with the University of Houston School of Law talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. Comedy in America has come a long way from vaudeville shows and the 1950s TV sitcom. These days, all you have to do is scroll through your phone to find millions of Twitter jokes or funny YouTube videos. Today on Think, guest host Courtney Collins talked with Ken Jennings about how comedy has infiltrated even the most serious aspects of our lives.
Think about church marquees. I mean, just 10 years ago, church marquees all had Bible verses on them, the little signboard out in front of the church. And now they're all kind of hokey puns. You know, pastors pass around these Xerox booklets with joke ideas to put out front to put people in the pews. You know, it might say, "Come over to my house Sunday after the game. God." Or maybe this is not a good joke for radio. It'll say like CH blank blank CH. What's missing? You are. Get it? It spells church.
Church, yeah.
And because in a culture where everything is funny, even the churches have to keep up, or you're going to look stodgy and old-fashioned by comparison. I think I'm most shocked by how the once serious airline safety pamphlets that tell you about all the emergency equipment and what to do in case of a water landing have now been replaced by these goofy videos with musical numbers or, you know, weird memes. And, you know, they're essentially comedy sketches now, the things that tell you about the oxygen masks in a crashing plane, a hilarious vein for comedy.
Ken Jennings is the author of Planet Funny, How Comedy Took Over Our Culture. This episode of Think Rears tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Texas Democrats know they'll have to work hard to get their voters to turn up in this year's midterm elections if they want to win seats held by Republicans. One group that's particularly hard to mobilize, younger voters. KERA's Christopher Connolly asked around at the Texas Democratic Convention in Fort Worth to find out why it's so hard to get young people to vote.
Kim Olson is running to be Texas Agriculture Commissioner, but when she spoke with a group of Texas young Democrats, people under 40, she didn't spend much time talking about farms. Instead, she had a message for them.
Those of us with gray hair and chemically altered gray hair need you to be like gerbils on Red Bull. It is up to you.
There are nearly as many adults in Texas above the age of 65 as there are below the age of 26. But the two groups vote at vastly different rates. In Texas in 2016, senior citizens voted at more than double the rate of people in their early 20s. So Olson told the crowd, you grow the Democratic electorate by getting more young people out to vote.
This is not the prom. No one has to ask you to show up. You come to the polls and you bring somebody with you.
There are a lot of reasons younger people don't vote as frequently as older ones do, according to Texas Democratic Party political chairman Cliff Walker. Think of voting like getting on the highway.
If you're just getting on the frontage road for the first time, and you pass your first on-ramp, or you miss that election, but you've only gone through one on-ramp. If I'm 60, I've gone through many different on-ramps, so I've had a lot of time to sort of, you know, get on the rolls and begin participating.
Older folks have seen the impact of more elections play out in their lives. They're also easier for campaigns to reach. Walker says he's on the younger side of Generation X, but even he is unreachable by traditional means.
You can't reach me by television. I've cut the cord, I have cable, I watch Hulu, I watch Netflix, I have Amazon Prime. I listen to some radio, but it's going to be hard to reach me that way. Landlines? Try to get me on a landline. I haven't had a landline in 20 years.
So Walker says campaigns need to use more sophisticated data to do more targeted outreach, to engage younger folks on social media, by text message and in person, anything, he says, to cut through the noise. At a bar in the Fort Worth Stockyards, young liberals fresh from the convention dance and drink and talk shop. Celia Morgan threw this party. She's president of the Texas Young Democrats, and she says her generation gets a bad rap. Sure, she says, older people have always outvoted younger people, but young Texans today are more engaged than ever.
There is a lot more popularity, and I think a political wokeness amongst younger people in our generation and the younger generations now than there was before.
Look at youth-driven protest movements around immigrant rights, Black Lives Matter, and now high school-aged gun control activists. But 23-year-old Carla Cruz says Democrats still need to do a better job of organizing communities of color like the one she grew up in Brownsville. That's where a lot of young folks are registered but don't often vote.
Engaging those people, mobilizing them, letting them know that they actually care about them, how they feel, how they would vote, and what their needs are so they could accurately represent them, never happens.
It doesn't happen, according to Democratic strategist Ed Espinosa with Progress Texas, because campaigns are spending their energy and resources on established voters, which usually means older ones.
It's kind of a chicken and an egg argument. The people who vote are the people that campaigns target, but the people that campaigns target are the people who vote. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Espinosa says it's good that this year Texas Democrats have a younger, more diverse crop of candidates. Still, he says, that's not enough on its own. Millennials want authentic candidates who will fight for their principles.
For them, it's not whether or not they're going to vote for one party or the other. It's are they going to vote for one candidate or are they going to stay home? And I think that it's up to the candidates to be able to reach out and develop that relationship and say, I share your values.
Democrats have just over 4 months to build those relationships with younger voters and give them a reason to turn out in midterm elections. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Partly cloudy skies expected later tonight. Should be a low around 80 this evening. And tomorrow, partly cloudy with the high in the upper 90s. At 6:30, this is KERA News.